I treated it like Pirate's Code. You know what Pirate's Code is? You fall behind, you get left behind. You know, that's Pirate's Code, and it's harsh. You know, but that's how I treated myself when I went back to school. I was like, you know what? When everyone was telling me all this stuff was too late, I took it as a sign. I was like, you know what? How about I just move faster than everybody? You know what I mean? That's kind of how I took it.
What's going on? You're listening to episode 98 of the Perspective Podcast, and I'm your host, Scotty Russell of Perspective Collective. This show is about carving out time to build something for yourself. I want to share what is and isn't working for me, along with sharing my guest point of view. Also, at the end of each episode, I plug a weekly dose of inspiration to someone crushing it in the community, so stick around to the end because it could be you. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Industry Print Shop, reigning out of Austin, Texas. Industry is the authority in all things screen printing, like apparel and posters. Their all-star staff will guide you through your order process and help you rock your vision from an idea to a tangible product. Check out industryprintshop.com or follow them at Industry Print Shop on the grams and get familiar with their badass work. It's episode 98. That means we're two away from 100 if you need some help with your edition, which I hope you don't. And if you want to get first dibs on all the swag I'm selling at discounted podcast listener rates, then sign up for the newsletter at perspective-collectiveteam.com. You'll get yourself a private link an hour early before the public release drops. Again, I've sold out mugs like hotcakes in the past, so there's only 48 of these, 50 of the prints, 50 of the t-shirts, and 200 of the pins, so you're probably a little bit safer on those, but I got killer discounts for all of them right away for listeners. Also, don't forget to submit your episode 100 artwork so I can reshare it and show you some love. And go to my Perspective Podcast account. You can see I'm already sharing it over there. And if you want to get down on this, simply create some work that includes Perspective Podcast and episode 100. The rest is up to you. Go wild, flex your imagination. And again, use the hashtag Perspective Podcast 100 and tag me to make sure I see it. Whew, now that that's over, I know it can be frustrating at times seeing everyone else crush their dream as you struggle to figure out which path you should even take. You could try a million different things and feel like it's too late to chase your dream, when in reality, you could be just moments away from discovering that one thing that shifts your entire career mindset. One thing that I've learned is we're all on our own paths, and each and every one of our timing is different. It's not fair to compare yourself to someone else and their story. You have to stay diligent in finding that thing that lights your soul and brings value to the world. And I want you to know, it's never too late. But when you find that thing, pour everything you have into it. Learn the basics and the fundamentals and avoid cutting corners. There are no shortcuts to this game. You know, and focusing on these basics, that's what's going to set your foundation and serve as a springboard for you to thrive later on. And that's where I want to cue today's guest. One of my favorite illustrators in the game right now is Michael Fugoso out of sunny San Diego, and he rips shit under the name Fugstrader on the grams. This guy has an incredible story of finding his path of design and art later in the game than most of us. Yet, once he found that thing that made him feel alive, he's gone all out on it and has taken the illustration world by storm with his unique skeuomorphic style that I could pick out of anywhere. Out of the biggest sea of noise, his work just rises to the top. So in this episode, Fugs and I inject energy into topics such as finding your groove and owning your style, sharing the process and building an audience, skipping the shortcuts and mastering the fundamentals, and being a student of life and always experimenting. You can find the show notes of this episode packed to the brim with Michael's work at perspective-collective.com/98. And I'd love to know what you think. Please take a screenshot of the podcast episode you're listening to and tag me on Instagram at Perspective Podcast or Twitter, and let's connect. Let's go. Today, I'm joined by my illustrator brother from another mother, Michael Fugoso, better known as Fugstrader. I'm so stoked to have you on the show finally. What's going on? How are you doing, my friend?
What's up, Scotty? Dang, I'm happy to be here, dude.
And for those who don't know, we started recording and then something messed up on my end. So now we're officially recording again and I'm making him repeat everything over again. And just to catch people up. So him and I met at Crop Baton Rouge this last April. And I've been following him for, you know, probably a little over 2 years now. And finally we linked up at Crop. Didn't even know we were sitting next to each other at wherever we were at, probably at lunch, but you know, fast forward today, now we are the tightest homies in the world, and I finally get his ass on the show.
Right, man. I just want to give you a big hug right now.
Well, dang. For those who don't know, I'm going to have you repeat yourself a brief Wikipedia page summary about yourself.
Yeah.
This is good stuff.
I started as a graphic designer in this field, you know, like with web design, graphic design. That's kind of my background. But before that, I was in finance. So what I went to university for, you know what I mean? San Diego State University.
And this is where I said, gross.
you're like disgusting, man.
Banking.
But yeah, I went to university, man. I was there for like 6 years, dude. I didn't know what I was doing, but I met some good people, bro. I met some real good people. And that's my biggest takeaway from the university.
When you started school, because you started, what, when you're 29 or 30 in the graphic design field going to school?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, bro.
So what made you get into design in the first place? Was it because of friends or, you know, what sparked you to switch from the banking and the numbers and the crunching of all that world to get into visual arts?
Oh, man, I don't know. Have you ever talked to people about their money before? Oh, it's the worst.
I talk about my own money with my wife and it stresses me out and I just want to go draw to get away from it.
Yeah.
So that's what it was? You just jump ship?
I think that's what it was. I was in like the mortgage industry and then it's either like I ask people, hey, can you afford this house? Or I just send them a shit ton of paperwork. You know what I mean? Like, hey, like I had the job that nobody liked dealing with me, bro. You know, like the salespeople didn't like dealing with me because I would push their sales back and then like, the customers didn't like dealing with me because I made them fill out paperwork. So it was like one of those jobs that, like, I think it's because they made me feel sad, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That, like, I didn't feel happy with what I was doing. And I didn't really – that was what I was trained to do for, like, how many years?
It wasn't the right fit. You had the ladder you were climbing was against the wrong wall kind of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like what do I do to change this? So – And, you know, when I went to university, I was like I was a C student, man, at that 2.0. I was all about that 2.0 stuff. And I went back to design school when I turned 29. Actually, no, when I turned 29, I decided to go. And then when I turned 30, that's when I'm like, okay. And you don't know how many people told me that I was too late. It was too late to go to school, man. It's too late to restart.
Never too late to figure out, you know, what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, it's that Asian family thing, man. The Asian family, they want you to be doctors. They want you to be...
So that's a true stereotype.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. It's true, man. Like, you know, I talked to a lot of my friends who are in that same scenario. It's like it's... I mean, I was lucky to have very open-minded parents. My parents are like, dude, it's all about family, you know? And my parents are super cool. They're really supportive around the whole thing. But you don't know how many people were like, dude, you know, don't go back to school, man. You got a good thing going.
Look at you now, finding your stride. So you didn't even know about Photoshop or Illustrator until you were like 30 years old, right?
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I didn't even. I knew what Photoshop was, but I never touched it, and I never knew that there was. I didn't know what a vector was, you know, before I took my first Illustrator class. I had a whole mental shift, you know, like when I was in San Diego State University, like I'd be the one that would sit in the back, you know what I mean, and just like try to get through classes, go and ratemyprofessors.com, you know, choose the easiest teacher out there so I can, you know, get that 2.0 GPA. And then like when I went to this school, I was like, no, I actually really want to do good. I want to learn. I want to meet the cool people. I treated it like Pirate's Code. You know what Pirate's Code is?
No. Enlighten me.
You fall behind, you get left behind, you know? That's Pirate's Code. And it's harsh. It's harsh, you know, but that's how I treated myself when I went back to school. I was like, you know what? When everyone was telling me all this stuff was too late, I took it as a sign. I was like, you know what? How about I just move faster than everybody? You know what I mean? That's kind of how I took it. I don't know if that was the right way, the right mindset, but it's helped me at that time.
I think that's great because there's a listenership for people who maybe are just in school right now to people in their 40s, you know, still trying to find their groove. And, you know, like Gary Vaynerchuk, he didn't find his mojo until he was 40. You know,
Fudge, Gary V, man. I love that guy.
Me too. He likes to fire under my ass. So like, What changed? You went from 2.0 to valedictorian, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's because when I was at the university, you know, I just didn't care, man. I didn't care what I was doing. All I cared about was meeting people. Like I majored in Japanese too when I was in university. So like,
yeah,
a lot of my friends right now are from Japanese class, you know. And then like I can't even speak Japanese, bro. Like after four years of that stuff, like I don't even you know, like I would go to Japan. I went to Japan with my family a few years ago, and then like I couldn't help them, dude. I was like, I'm just like you. I can't speak.
I'm a tourist.
Yeah.
So what was the factor when you graduated from school? Did you just get into freelance right away, or you know, how did that work? Where did you work from there? And do you have a day job right now? I think you do from the last time we had a little chat from Instagram.
So I'm 100% freelance right now.
Yeah. What was the jobs you had before leading up to this?
Oh, shoot. Okay.
This is what people want to know. People ask me to ask these questions.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? You know, let me. Okay. I'll start from there. So when I finished design school, like I was actually working. I was like, it was my goal to work full time in design while I was in school. You know what I mean? So be a full time student, full time design worker, you know. So I worked at a real estate company first, because you know my background was in finance, right? And then like I was actually working at this this bank, and I was like, guys, dude, I can redesign all your flyers, you know, I can do all this stuff. And it's like a whole world I've never seen before, bro. If you guys want to make like quick money as a designer, just jump into real estate, because like how many real you know what I mean, like how many realtors need a freaking designer? You know, they want you to take their headshots, you know, slap it on their business cards. Like all of them need that, dude. And they're all terrible at that. If you're into video, open house, you know, get your drone out there or something.
Oh, it's huge around here now. Like,
yeah. So that's how I started. I started as a designer for a real estate company. And then I became a marketing director at that company. It was like my second job is being that marketing director. And that title, dude, that title as a marketing director kind of pushed me in all kinds of, gave me the confidence, you know, to get bigger jobs. So after that, I would work at a few agencies here and there. And agency life, man, that's what I wasn't prepared for, dude, because that stuff is fast. You know, like
it's like a lot of production work.
Yeah. And like, you know, that's where I really got trained to hit those deadlines, you know. I mean, school trains you to do that, but it's real life freaking agency work that really like kicks that into you, yeah.
Because I kind of work in that with the day job. And the main motto is always under promise, over deliver. If you can do that and hit your deadlines early, like, you know, build in your cushion, like that's in project management and, you know, communication with people. So basically that was what was setting you up to where you are today, it seems like.
Yeah. You know, and like, you know, I always talk about like that career change, you know, from the finance to design. But like, I feel like that background I've had at the university working at those shitty banking jobs, you know what I mean? I think they kind of like mentally helped me to like how to deal with people like subconsciously, you know what I mean? And how to move up that corporate ladder quickly and stuff like that. Like I think that all that stuff trained me for all the design work, all the design jobs that I had later, because they all kind of had the same type of structure, you know?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer. All those shitty jobs that one has in the past, like there's always like one little nugget that you needed to help mold you to whatever position you're in or grinding towards today. And that's so true. So like those shitty jobs, you know, there's a reason why you're there.
Yeah, dude. You know, what was that thing I saw? That you watch Casey Neistat's podcast or I'm not podcast.
I had in the past, but man, just with my schedule now, I am not in much consumption mode. I'm in.
Oh, it's all good. I get it, man.
Yeah, there's not much time.
I saw that baby Scotty.
Yeah, you know? The little man. I was in dad mode before we jumped on. So, but how did you land into freelance? You know, what's a typical day look like for you in the freelance life? You know, how do you onboard clients? How do you pitch, present, and pricing? Was pricing hard for you to get a hold on? You know,
dude, pricing is still hard for me, man. Like that's something that, you know, I like going to these conferences for, because I get the, you know, like when I met the Pander people, my fellow San Diegos.
Yeah, Roxy and Phoebe, shout out to them. They've been on here.
Yeah. It's good to like, you know, to talk to them and cause they're so good at that outreach and that marketing type stuff. But a lot of my stuff is through word of mouth and social media, man. So, you know, like when I was working the design jobs, like I was working at these agencies and, you know, it was a little too fast paced. I wasn't prepared for like producing that fast, you know? So I got into, you know, once I finished the web and learned all the web stuff, that stuff was like a lot easier for me to hammer out. I felt like, cause it wasn't as, I'm not saying it's not creative, bro, but like it's a different part of my brain, you know? It was really easy. So like, I actually liked going to like a job like that where it's very logical and then going to school where it's like creative. Cause when I had a creative job and then went to school and did creative stuff again, it's like my brain was killing me, you know? So yeah, so I started off that way and I just kept on moving forward from there. And then I finally landed like the best job ever. I became a marketing guy for the San Diego airport. It was like my first six-figure design job. And once I got that, that gave me the confidence to like, dude, like if I can land something like this, I can basically, you know, do whatever. And then like they sent me to this this conference. Oh, I don't think I should be saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. They send me to this conference and I meet this guy over there and he's like, bro, you know, you could be making so much more money or you could enjoy what you're doing a lot more. I know you're working at a great place right now at the airport, but there's so much other stuff you could be doing that's a lot more fulfilling. You know what I mean? And then like I come back. I'm at the airport. I'm there for like maybe 1 or 2 more months. I'm like, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to take the risk, you know? And a lot of people like thought, even my parents at that time, my brothers and everybody, they all thought I was crazy leaving a big job like that, you know, and starting from scratch again and doing my own thing. But that's when I really started pushing Instagram.
You answered the call. Like there was some kind of call for you and you can either, you know, go with it and take the leap, or you can listen to what the majority says, who's not you.
That's right. And that shit was scary, bro. Like, you know, I started that Instagram and I was like, man, like I would post one thing and then I would just like sit there and wait. You know what I mean? Like, hey, man, let's check out my...
Watch it.
You know, this is. I mean, I don't do that anymore, okay? But like...
I've been there. When did you start Instagram then? When did you like start showing your work online?
That was like 3 years ago, or 2.5 years ago is when I started.
Yeah.
2.5 years ago. Yeah, before that was all about working at design jobs, you know?
Did you treat Instagram as a tool immediately? Did you like go in, start learning the hashtags, the accounts that will feature your work?
Yeah, dude.
You did right away? Or did you just like when I started off, I was just posting just really shitty doodles, not great compositions or lighting or anything like that. I just posted and, you know, didn't think about it until like one feature from GoodType. Like I was like, oh my God, there's like a whole nother world to this.
Good, those features, bro.
That's,
yeah.
That's what really changes the game and gives you a little confidence. Like, holy shit, like I can do this.
That's right. Yeah. That's, I started off. Yeah. Just like that. Like actually, if you scroll down to my, it's pretty quick. If you want to scroll down to the beginning of my account, cause I only have like 200 posts on there.
Flexing. You know, I built like almost 50K on 200.
I know I need to increase my output too, but like if you look at how it started, like I start off with like logo designs or something like that.
I'm scrolling all the way back. Keep talking.
Yeah, I didn't even know how I was doing it. I was like, I'd be like, hey, 10 days of logos, you know? So I would make logos.
You made like little side projects.
Yeah. It was like stuff I did at school, stuff at like from work and stuff from like current clients at the time.
I see that VV from Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah. Is that the one where he's like taking a dump?
Yep.
I was really into the fan art, you know, that's kind of how I started the Instagram drawing stuff like that. I was a huge fan of Musketon. Do you follow that guy?
Yeah, he's a beast.
Musketon. Yeah. Like, actually he went in and, he had like a little showcase at my school and that's kind of what really pushed me into Instagram. Cause that was kind of his model at the time. So I would do the 10 days of logos. I did like robots and then all of a sudden, like I drew one thing. I forgot what it was. It was
the ship.
Yeah. I think it was a Planet Express one or like it was the NASA one. I forget. And that's the one that like things like really blew up. And, I kind of stuck to more of that skeuomorphic style. Cause that's, you know, I don't know why, like once that blew up, it's like, I know it's kind of bad to be like, hey, let's do more stuff that I think people like.
No, not at all. Not at all. Honestly. Okay. So this is what I call the secret sauce, your sweet spot. It's the overlap of what you're best at or what comes easiest to you, what you enjoy And then where there's a market for it. So if this is something you like and you're good at and you're quick at it, and then people are engaging with it, then hell yeah, man, go and hit on that even more. So like the engagement is what you saw and you're like, I'm going to keep doing more of what works. Like that's just the formula.
It's funny too. I got some funny feedback too, where like people would be like, skeuomorph, man, skeuomorphism is dead, man. Why are you doing that stuff? You know?
Yeah, I read so many, like the trends of 2018, the trends of 2017, flat design 2.0, you know, gradients are gone. And I'm like, I'm clearly looking at someone who's, you know, thriving in that style. And I know, and you get asked all the time. I know you do. And this is a question people always want to know is, how did you develop that voice and style? Was it literally you just threw out some skeuomorphic one day with a design that worked and you're like, hell, I enjoyed it and my audience enjoyed it. Maybe they'll enjoy more. Is that kind of it? You just listen to your audience?
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, I think it's because, you know, I learned the techniques from this place I worked at. I worked at a candy company that did like some packaging for like Wonka products and stuff like that. Like, I worked at that candy agency. I called it a candy agency, but I don't even know what they are. But I meant.
Sounds like a sweet job. Get it? That's bad. That was bad. Sorry.
That was good. That was great, man. That was good. That was good, man. That caught me off guard. But yeah, it was a pretty sweet job, you know. It's funny, man. My boss there. Sorry to go off tangent, but my boss there when I had my interview, she was super honest with me. She's like, "You take this job, there's no way up, dude. You know, this is a stepping stone job for you. You work here, like there's already a number two guy. I'm the number one person. You're gonna be the number three person. That's it. No one's leaving their job, bro." So. You know, I love that honesty, dude. Loved it. So I took it in a heartbeat. And then like, you know, I got real cool with my boss. That was like my favorite boss ever, I think. And she taught me like some really cool techniques. And then I learned this really unorthodox way to do like lighting and shadows in Illustrator from her, which is basically using Gaussian blur, which is a Photoshop effect, you know, to do all that stuff. So like, you know, when I do a lot of my work, a lot of people are thinking like, hey, you know, that's not technically a vector, but there's like a hack to it. If you were to copy your Illustrator work and paste it into Photoshop as a smart object, it becomes infinitely scalable within your Photoshop file, you know, so it's a vector, it renders like a vector, you know, so like, I think after I learned that technique, that's when I started like pushing it, because I really, that made a lot of sense to me, like getting shapes over shapes over shapes and then blurring them and blending them and stuff like that. Like that's where that all started. And then I don't know, I posted one of those on Instagram and it's crazy, like I don't know, a lot of in my head I think it's a really easy technique and a lot of people are like, how do you do that, man?
That's a big ass tip right there. Like I use that for the day job, but I never thought about like how in depth of style like you do it, you know. That's a huge takeaway. Write that one down, everyone.
Yeah, man, it's a lot easier than doing a gradient mesh, honestly. And I think it looks better too. Like it looks more
way easier.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot easier. And yeah, gradient meshes are tough to deal with, I think, in my opinion. Or maybe I'm just not using it right, but
no, those things are complex if you make them complex, especially on the level of detail that you do it. Like that's gonna be a complex gradient mesh for sure.
Yeah. And the downside though to this Gaussian blur technique is it makes your files huge though. That's I'd say that's the only downside to it, but it's fun, bro. You know.
Do you feel pigeonholed within this set style right now, or do you just enjoy it so much that it's attracting the kind of work that you want? Or are you afraid to like go off and just test the waters of something new? Cause for me, I'm like consistently inconsistent. I don't feel like I have that set style that people are going to hire me for. Like I like trying so many different things. I don't have that it style like you do. I can see one post from you and I'm like, dude, that's totally Fugues. You know, I don't feel like I have that yet. But do you feel like you're pigeonholed within this style that you can't pursue something outside of flat or skeuomorphic?
No, you know, like actually I don't. You know, I feel like I could do this forever just because like, you know, I'm just like looking at my favorite illustrators out there. Scotty Russell, what's up? Favorite letterers out there.
Blushing.
come on, man. But we got, you know, like you know, Andy J. Pizza.
Oh yeah, dude, I talk about his podcast on here all the time. Like, it's probably not healthy to like tell everybody to go listen to someone else's podcast, but that dude's on another level.
I think it's cool. Like, you know, like Joe Rogan, that's all he does is bring other podcasters on there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Elon Musk, you watch
that?
Yeah,
Elon I watched
Musk
that one.
Episode?
His laugh on it is like, ha ha ha. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
There's a lot of gems in there. It's it awkward, is. But there's a lot of
especially
there's
when
a
they
lot
talk
of
about like the Instagram
there.
Engagement and the likes and the fake lives of people on Instagram. That was pretty empower. That was pretty powerful.
How we're all cyborgs? Yeah, I
yes,
love that.
Living in a simulation right now. What were you about to say before I cut you off?
I feel like with every style, you can make an infinite, like, you can create the variety within a style, you know? I think it is easy to get tired of it, especially if you're heavy on the technical side, you know, which I'm not. I'm terrible with technical stuff, you know? So, yeah, I think it's for me, I like finding the variety within a style. And then I have experimented with new things. You know, like, but it's still kind of the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
like the paper stuff that I do is still like, it's still flat.
Fits within under that umbrella of that current style you've been curating, just a different channel that you can take it.
Yeah, pretty much, man. But I think that's what I do, and I do see maybe that shifting a little bit because I see a lot of people getting into 3D. You know, like 3D illustrations, and I'm, you know, I just want to give that a try to see if like maybe that opens up new avenues for me, or like if it's even fun, you know.
Well, I like how you're still staying under this umbrella, but then you go and find an animator, you know, and then you make your work move. You find like that next dimension to things, and now I know you're big into video, and I know you're experimenting more into video. And can you tell us a little bit about your push for Instagram TV and the content you're trying to produce there?
Oh yeah, man. So, my Instagram right now, I feel like it's just like, it's designed for me to be a business to business person. You know what I mean? Like to get clients and stuff and to work with big clients and things, which I love. But, you know, I want to kind of like, I feel like the next step is to be a little more like get a lot more engaged with my followers and be a little more business to customer, you know? So, to promote things that way through like personality and through like giving people tips, shortcuts, like, you know, because I did all this stuff like when I turned 30. I'm 35 now, so I feel like I did a lot in 5 years, but at the same time, maybe I moved a little too fast sometimes, or I felt a little burnout here and there. And
I know exactly what you're talking about, man.
Yeah. So I feel like I could give some real good insight, and I know you give amazing insight on your podcast, Andy J Pizza's pod. You know, like all these guys, I almost feel like everybody needs to like have an outlet like that where they can just like talk and talk about like give value to people other than like the work. You know, I think you can give value by personality and by, you know, just by like, I don't want to call it a self brand, bro, but like just like
it's a personal brand. Why what's wrong with that?
I don't know. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nothing wrong with it, man.
Yeah, I think the more human you are in your brand, the more not only big businesses are going to be attracted to it, but you know, your everyday average Joe or Jill like me is going to be even more attracted to you. I want to continue to learn more from you. You put out a product, I want to just buy your shit just to support you. Plus I know there's value in it because it's going to help me develop as my own designer and artist. So I think the direction you're going now is awesome. And I really respect the hell out of it because you're not only sharing your process where a lot of people see everyone as competition, but like you're just an open book, you know, and people can choose to learn how to do it as well and mimic your style or create their own. Or in turn, they're just like, fuck this. There's a lot of layers to what this dude's doing. Let me just hire him. So there's beauty in sharing the process.
Yeah, man. You know what's funny? Like, I like this feeling of being like exposed all the time,
yeah.
Like the open book feeling, because it's like there's nothing to hide.
Like Daily V or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, right. He's like, I have, you guys know everything. There is like absolutely nothing for me to hide. There's no like deep, dark secrets or anything like that. It's like, that's what I love about the social media stuff. I try to be as honest as I can on it, you know, that imposter syndrome, get all that stuff out of my system. And you know what I mean? And I saw that on your podcast, bro, that imposter syndrome episode.
I keep it open, man. Open book.
Yeah.
Open book.
Yeah.
It's time for a shout out to our sponsor. My homie, Tony Diaz, and the Industry Print Shop crew out of Austin, Texas are leaders in the world of screen printing. And they work with juggernauts like Draplin, Morning Breath, and James Victory, and they want to make cool shit with you too. If you're looking to get started in the merch game with prints or apparel, take advantage of this podcast listener-only deal. When requesting a quote at industryprintshop.com, mention promo code PERSPECTIVE to receive free screen setup up to $120 or get 100 free 3x3-inch die-cut stickers on any new minimum order placed. Say you have a four-color design? Well, this promo code is literally going to save you $120 right there. Or leave your mark by plastering 100 stickers all around your turf. Either way, it's a win-win. You can also stay up to date with the new work they're slanging at Industry Print Shop on Instagram. And once again, take advantage of promo code PERSPECTIVE when requesting a quote online at industryprintshop.com. Thank you, Industry. Love you guys. Well, why is it important you to be open to share your process, and what's been the benefit? Have you seen the benefit in it of like building your tribe, not just the B2B aspect, but the B2C? Like, I see you utilizing those Instagram features, like, hey, ask me a question. I've been wanting to do that, but I'm afraid something will come up with the little one that I can't like get to people's questions and I just waste people's time. But, you know, I see you responding like full paragraphs to people and super open.
Man, you know, now that we're talking on this podcast, it's like, it's hard for me to pinpoint like a starting point on all these topics, because there's like, there's just so much stuff. But I like to, so I don't know if I told you, but I teach design right now, like at a school I graduated from. I'm a illustrator teacher there.
Awesome. Do you have to get like a degree or anything to go back? They're just like, hey, come back and help us.
You know what I love about the creative career? I feel like you can just jump, man. If your portfolio is great and everything, and then you show that value immediately, you don't have to do that, like, you know, graphic designer one, graphic designer two.
Yeah, I don't think a master's in graphic design is ever necessary. I would never tell anybody to go do that.
Right? Yeah, you know, like, you don't have to jump, like, you don't have to work through this ladder. You can just make a badass portfolio from the get-go, you know, and then and show your value immediately that way.
So you're teaching right now at a university. So you have no issues of teaching and sharing what you know.
No issues at all, man. What I don't like doing though is I don't like giving people like step by step tutorials though. Like, do this first, do that.
So you don't want to take the time to ever like make a course or anything on skeuomorphic and sell that?
I would make a course, but it would never be like, guys, let's draw an entire, I don't know, robot together. You know, it wouldn't be like that. I would teach more principles and thinking in ways that would actually just, I don't know, with my experience with teaching students and everything, like when I do that step-by-step thing, it puts them in this box, I feel like, you know, where they do learn the techniques and stuff and they learn stuff this way, but that's all they do. You know, they don't do a lot of exploration. I mean, that's how I found the skeuomorphism thing on my own, is by exploration. Like, someone taught me techniques, but I took those techniques in a different way and took those, you know, and took stuff that like looked at what DKNG was doing and took some DKNG stuff, looked at some other stuff that my man Adam Grayson, you know what I mean, to see
Adam Grayson. Yeah, he was on the podcast too,
right? I watched that episode. You know, I learned a lot from him, you know, talking about the Disney stuff and the NDA things and being careful about that stuff.
Yeah, don't be sharing your work if you signed an NDA.
Right. I love that guy, man.
But what I love the most right now is we live in a world where, like, I've had my shit ripped off recently, just blatant ripoffs, or I've seen other people having their work blatantly ripped off, and it's like, There's a fine line to say you're inspired, but at least give credit. But right now you're giving credit, but you like take these little bits of what other people are doing and then you put them within your new techniques and this, your new styles under your umbrella, your channels, and, you know, push them to the next level to make them yours. And I think that's so important for people to do. Like, in the beginning, like, I was tracing stuff all the time growing up. Thankfully I didn't have social media, but now it's like, I'm constantly searching, how can I perfect or produce my own style to help rise above the noise? You know, it's too saturated. I see so many people doing the same shit, and like, I scroll through someone's work and I think it's someone else's, but really it's someone else's ripping them off, and then someone ripping that style off, and I'm like, my god, just a saturated field
And I don't know, like, I could be wrong at this, you know, I'm just going by experience and teaching a few people. Like, that's why I don't like giving people a step by step. This is how you do this. This is how you get there. I'll show you exactly how I do it, you know, but I will teach you the foundation first, just like building a house. You know, your foundation needs to be strong, right? So I teach them that, you know, I make sure their design principles are like set before I teach them any type of technique stuff. Cause that design brain, dude, that's a hard thing to get. That's the thing that takes years. It's the technical stuff you can learn in months, you know, like 2 months, maybe you're probably good at it already. But the getting that visual eye, like I was talking to Lincoln Design Co. at that crop.
The homies Lincoln.
They're sick, dude. I love those guys. I love those. Their work is insane, man. Like when I look at it.
They just shit gold.
Right.
Like Tywin Lannister.
Yeah. They got that Midas touch, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tywin Lannister. They were telling everybody that, you know, you either have that eye or you don't, right? And then, like, I appreciate that they said that, but at the same time, I feel like everybody could develop that eye, you know what I mean? And the way to develop that eye is not to jump straight into Photoshop or jump straight into Illustrator and get real excited about that. Like, that's how my classmates were at school, you know? They're like, man, when are we going to take that Photoshop class, you know? When are we going to take the Illustrator class? But for me, I was like, no, dude, like, let's get the foundation right. Like, let me know why I'm doing all this stuff first, you know, like, and when you know this, when you know these basics, like hierarchy, you know, space, color, typography, when you know all these basics, it's easy to look at some other designer or some other artist and break down it yourself, you know, like.
Dude, that's okay. So if you're a lettering, big lettering crowd here.
Yeah.
This is the same thing. So like when I saw lettering, maybe over four years ago now, when I first got into Instagram, which would have been 5 years I've been in Instagram, it was me just jumping in, not knowing the basics or the typographic fundamentals behind things. So I was just jumping in and disguising all my flaws with tons of detail instead of knowing type hierarchy, pairings of different styles, you know, the actual structure of a letter, a leg, a crossbar, a counter, you know, understanding all these principles and spacing, consistency. You know, once you understand, then you can go learn lettering from there. But you gotta put the training wheels on and understand
that foundation, Brian, bro,
what it is to ride a bike before you can go out and start doing tricks.
Yeah, man. And I get that it's boring too sometimes, right? Like you don't know how many graphic design students I talked to would be like, dude, typography sucks, man. Typography is boring. Like,
that used to be me.
Well, yeah. But now it's like, no, it's you just got it. You have to get through that phase, right? That that basics and the foundations phase. Usually when I critique other people's work and there's something missing in their pieces, there's always an issue with hierarchy.
What's the dominant? What's the secondary? What's the tertiary?
Yeah, right. So like if you don't know this stuff, it's real hard for you to excel. You know, like you can be a master at like the technical stuff, like I say, like you could be a master at Photoshop and Illustrator, but still not have these principles, and your work ends up being a little bland, a little dry, and then
you're missing something, and people wonder, like, that's when they throw in the towel. Instagram, why is my following not growing? Why am I not getting the features? Why am I not attracting client work? It's because you're probably missing the 101.
So that's what I was trying to tell you this whole time is that the reason why I love teaching, bro, is because I want to get that out of people, you know, and that's the reason why I'm doing the IGTV stuff is because I feel like I have this formula on how to get that out. And there's a barrier to entry, just like with everything, with every freaking thing, you know, there's a barrier to entry. Like I said, like learning those principles could be boring, but just get through it. You know what I mean? And you know, I have these like tricky, like I'm sneaky sometimes, like these fun ways I'm bringing them out with people, you know?
Well, so by the time this episode drops, will you already have your IGTV going right now?
Yeah, man. I was supposed to have one out this week, but I'm going to.
So is this like a podcast or what is this?
I'm calling it a podcast. It's just a long form discussion, bro.
Episodic adventure of getting in the mind of Fugs and learning the basics.
Yeah, I'm just gonna start talking about stuff, you know. You know, that's what I love, because I tried doing the YouTube thing, and not that I hated that, I love the video process is long, man. You need like
it's too much. That's why I don't do YouTube. I don't have enough hours in the day to do video. So like, I'm honestly getting inspired by you with your IGTV experience, because like, I don't have the fancy setup. You know, I just got an iPhone A Plus, but that's like my content creating machine right now. I don't got a fancy camera.
I think that's the best way to go, is to make a lot with lesser tools, and to not be about the gear. You know what I mean? That's one thing I teach in my class too, because a lot of people are like, hey man, let me just jump in and I want to get the best MacBook Pro out there. You know what I mean? I want to spend that $4,000. You know, just get a maxed out MacBook Pro. I'm like, dude, you could do everything you could do with like a $1,500 one. You know what I mean?
Or like, the tools don't make the end product. It's true with lettering or illustrations or graphic design. You know, I've been using a simple HB pencil I got from Walmart for practically my whole life. And you don't need this fancy $100 lead holder or anything like that, or a fancy MacBook Pro.
All right.
Be resourceful. Use what you got right now.
Use what you got. And I swear, like, the best artists, the best designers, they know how to make stuff with limitations and restrictions. You know, when you throw in the limitations and restrictions to your work, I feel like you just get so much better in your work.
Constraints breed creativity.
Yeah, right.
You're making moves now. So what's something big you have in store for us moving forward? Is your main focus moving forward IGTV, or do you got any kind of, I see you have like a design cuts deal going on right now. What kind of things you got shaken up right now so people can look forward to?
Oh, you know what's funny, man? I never have a goal, bro. Like,
what?
I have a general goal, you know, but I usually have about like 5 milestones I want to hit a year, and then 5 things I want to do every day.
That sounds, I don't have a goal, but yeah, I have. Get the fuck out of here.
No, but I mean, like, I don't have a, I guess my goal, I mean, like, I don't really have like a, like, oh, you know, I want to build this, you know, and get to the, you know, get to that point, or I want to.
Are these milestones and goals each day flexible?
Yeah, they're very flexible. They're very flexible milestones. So
like, you kind of wing it each day, but yet you still have your eyes set on a target.
Yeah, it's like, I just make sure I accomplish something each day.
One big thing a day, man. That's everything.
Right. That's how I feel like I'm actually improving, or actually like doing something, you know? And then if I do those 5 things for the day, I feel great, bro. If I say I'm going to wake up, you know, I'm going to wake up at 6 in the morning and get on Scotty's podcast, you know? And then I wake up at 7, I'm like, fudge, dude. And then what actually happens, I woke up at like 7:30. Or something like that. And then we, you know, we're starting at 7:45. I'm like, oh shoot. And that's when I sent you that message. So now I don't have the best start right now, because I didn't accomplish that 6 a.m. goal, you know, but
we got the podcast done.
We did.
That's one big thing today. Before we go into rapid fire question, this is something I ask on every episode. What's one piece of advice you'd give to a creative at any stage of life who struggles starting or sticking with it, or you can answer both?
We kind of covered it earlier, but it's getting through the foundation. You know what I mean? Like a
barrier to entry.
Getting the basics down, and you know, that's the only way to develop that visual and creative eye. And like, technical stuff is cool too, but I think at the end of the day, for creatives, the most valuable thing is the way you visualize and conceptualize. So you got to keep exercising that more than anything else. You know, like, I get that it's great knowing the quick shortcuts to Photoshop and the quick stuff to Illustrator, but you can learn that at any time. But it's that mental way you see things. Like, watch a lot of movies, you know, like, I got a lot of Game of Thrones inspiration. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that whole map scene in the beginning.
Yeah,
you know that map scene that I never skip through that thing.
No, I was just telling my wife yesterday, we just started season 7, and she bought me the whole thing for my birthday. I've been dying to watch it again, and literally it's got to be a custom intro for everyone.
Right. And you see, that's a design decision.
Yeah,
right there is to, let's make it custom, let's give you an incentive on why you got to watch this thing every time.
It's true.
You know, and I would say that's good is to set that foundation. And also to, this helps me. I don't know if it helps other people, but I like to distinguish between design and art as much as I can. You know, like, I feel like art is very free form. It's basically anything. Art could be anything. Design is like, there's always a purpose to it. You know what I mean?
An intention.
Yeah, there's always something. So I think distinguishing those two will especially help on your Instagram, because I was talking about like making things that you think people would like, a mixture of that and a mixture of the art side, which is the stuff that you like. You know what I mean? Like, I like to do this, but I know people would like this too. I think that's a healthy way of building your Instagram, you know, when you mix both of those, art and design. I feel like every illustrator needs to have design principles too, you know?
Solid, yeah.
Yeah, if you're an illustrator, you got to learn design. You know, that's like that gives you the restraint, I think. And yeah, bro, that's what I would teach people trying to be illustrators, I guess, or wanting to be illustrators.
I should put a caveat here. Don't put all your eggs in one basket trying to create what you think other people want to see. You know, make sure first it's something that you enjoy doing in the first place. Don't go out creating shit that you don't give a fuck about and putting it out there, and then you're crushed when other people don't give a fuck about it either. So, you know, I think it starts with you. It's something you like and enjoy doing, and then you know it's working, so you do more of it.
Yeah, you hit both of those things, right?
I want to make sure that's known first, because I dug myself a grave before in the day doing vice versa, only creating things people wanted to see, and it got me in a bad spot. So
yeah,
I know you're not out there giving bad advice like that. I knew you better.
Hey, no, man, you never know. You never know. Like, I have this whole, like, people ask me, like, how do you develop your style, you know? And then, like, on my Instagram, I have a highlight section that tells you my whole formula on how to develop a style, which starts off with knowing who you are and first. Beautiful. You know? And now, like, I feel like changing the whole thing. It's like, I feel like I learned a new piece of information that changes all the other stuff that I, you know, that's...
That's having an open mind, being coachable, loving to learn, you know?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. All right, rapid fire questions, my man.
Rapid fire, let's go.
If you were on death row, what would your last slice of pizza be?
Oh, man, don't hate me, bro. Anchovy pizza, I like that. I like that salty fish taste, bro.
It's whatever floats your boat. It doesn't mean I'm going to be on death row eating that same shit with you.
But you got to sit with me, and you got to smell the fish out of my pizza, though. That's that's the thing, because we're both going to be, you know, we're both going to be on death row together.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I could see us, if we have some more time spending together out and about, we would probably cause a ruckus.
Yeah, right. That's it.
Where do you seek your inspiration, online and offline?
Oh, man. Offline, we kind of covered it. Like, I play a lot of video. You know what? I don't even play video games. I watch video games.
Oh, you're one of those people watching it on Twitch or what?
No, not really. I watch like trailers and things. Like, I'm a huge Street Fighter fan.
Okay.
Huge.
That's cool.
Massive. But I suck at it. And I know I get bodied at Street Fighter all the time, but I love the art style, dude. Like, it's funny. They have the craziest stereotypes to different countries, you know, the fighters and everything. But I love how like Japanese art and Japanese design, they like to accentuate like things like that. You know what I mean? It helps me to pinpoint. Sorry, man, this is not really a rapid fire answer, but you know,
it's your world, you know, right now, man. We're living in your world.
Hey, but yeah, like Street Fighter was the biggest inspiration for me. When I was in Japan, that was a huge inspiration for me, because I saw how they design things, and I saw like, you know, they're all about that minimalism, and then like the call into hierarchy. Like Japan's really good at that stuff. So that's how I get inspiration out of, so not only looking at design stuff, but like other things, like that, the Game of Thrones map, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why is this so cool to me? Oh, it's because it's got that, you know, it's got that,
layers and depth and movement,
the color correction to it and everything, the music, the feel and everything. It's like, get inspiration from that stuff. And then online is a lot of, I do a lot of the dribble stuff, you know, get that dribble inspiration. I got a lot of favorite illustrators out there. Owen Davey, one of my, you know what I love about, you know Owen Davey, bro?
I don't know, but I'll be checking him out after this.
I'll tell you, I'm sorry. I just got to do a real quick sidebar on Owen Davey. So that guy, the way he illustrates, you think it should be done in Illustrator because they're very simple shapes, you know, that look very vector, but he does it all in Photoshop. The reason being, because he says he's not a technical guy, right?
Doesn't care about that scalability.
Doesn't care about Illustrator. Just wants to get his work out there, and you know, and he can do it perfectly on Photoshop. So that's why he does it there. The second thing is he uses a trackpad, man, like on his laptop.
That's how Amir from Forefathers is. He uses the trackpad for all of his.
Oh, I never knew that. Amir?
Yeah.
Hey.
Crazy ass.
Oh, that's another guy. I just want to give him a big hug every time I see him.
He's so good. Shout out. He did the podcast artwork. Shout out.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that. Dude, I got to get caught me one of those shirts, you know?
They're coming.
Nice. But yeah, I think that's proof right there that you shouldn't really be focusing on the technical side too much. You know, it's like you got to get the visual eye. You know what I mean? You could basically, as long as you can output it, even if you're doing it the long way, who gives a shit? You know, like.
Do what works. Find what works for you.
Right.
So the people are wondering, script serif or sans serif?
Sans serif.
Yeah, you're a clean and simple type guy in everything you do. I've never seen you use script, so that's why we're going to collab before the end of the year, right? And I'm going
to I don't know how to do it. That's why,
I'm
going to
throw some script your way, and then we're going to make something pop.
Throw it my way. I mean, I love the look. I would love like a Fug script type thing, you know what I mean? Like a Fug Strader script type look. I'd love that, man. But like
that baseball logo style?
Kind of, with a little like, yeah, you know, like a little underneath. Swoosh at the end or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be sick. I love them all, but sans serif is my go-to.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, where can people go to find you online?
We got Instagram is the main thing. That's the main thing I'm pushing, IGTV and the Instagram feed. And then Dribble, get me on that Dribble, Triple B.
It's all under the name Fug Strader, right?
All under Fug Strader. I have a FugStrader.com that I never update, so don't go there.
Everybody's got a website they don't update.
But I will update it one of these days, but like, not right now. I mean, you can go if you want to check it out. Cool. That's it for now. That's all I'm going to give you guys, I think, for the...
Anything else you need, I'll toss it in the show notes, all right? So you got a while till this episode drops.
It's all good, man. But yeah, keep out on that IGTV. I'm gonna post my podcast, non-podcast type. It's not really a podcast,
I'll
dude.
Push that really, really hard on this, too.
All I'm going to do is just turn this thing on and be like, what's up? What do you guys want to talk about today?
Watch me add fills and strokes to this circle. All right, man. Michael Fugs, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I'm glad we finally got to make this happen. We got to make a collab happen before the end of the year. I promise. I told you I would get this done. Thanks again for sharing all this knowledge and value. And I can't wait to drop this one and show everybody your work and all the awesome value you drop, man. I appreciate you so much. All right, well, we'll be in touch. Have a fantastic day.
All right, man.
All right, homie. Peace. So there you have it, another episode in the books. And ladies and gentlemen, I have to introduce to you Michael Fugoso, a.k.a. Fug Strader. This dude's energy and personality are extremely infectious, and he's bringing so much value to our community. So please, 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 I beg you, make sure you show him some love, and don't be afraid to reach out and ask him a question, because he's just a swell dude like that. Michael, I have mad love for you, dude, and I hope that we can continue to connect, and let's get on this collaboration soon, my man. Moving on to this week's dose of inspiration. This one is a wild one. Please check this one out, too. It's pref_ID on Instagram, pref as in P-R-E-F _ID as in a fake ID. I have no idea if this is a guy or a girl, but they easily have the trippiest, mind-bending lettering murals that are just brilliantly creative. They're colorful and insanely clever with the wordplay and the tricks that they play on your eye. This is a must-follow account that will make you want to push the limits more in your work. Again, that's pref_ID on the grams. I want to plug the Facebook community. I try not to do it every episode now, but it's important as I only share it here because I want the right people. If you're looking for accountability, a community of a place to share your work, people to collaborate with, give and receive solid feedback, get access to resources that'll elevate your creative game, then I encourage you to check out the Perspective-Collective Facebook group. We have a thriving family building right now, and we would love to have you be a part of the mix. So again, hop on Facebook, search The Perspective-Collective to get involved with some rad people such as yourself. And if you enjoy what you're hearing, you want to support the growth of this show, would you consider giving it a rating or review over on iTunes and Apple Podcasts? I would love to give you a public shout out and send some love back your way, like this week's rating or review from... This one's called Pace Elegant. And they title it Motivation Station. All right, they state, this podcast is the best at motivating creatives to push themselves to be the best they can be. Scotty brings amazing content that showcases other creatives and how they grind for greatness, as well as his own struggles and work ethic that will inspire any creative listening to get into gear and do something with their talents. Thank you. You pretty much just summed up this show better than I ever could. I might have to snag this and put it in my bio. So thanks again. And as I wrap things up, I gotta give a huge thank you to my homegirls, Anya Brennan, for editing the podcast, and Paige Garland for doing the show notes editing, and she's taking on a shit ton more work on the outside of it too, so I could not do this without you two. These ladies are amazing, and I owe them so much gratitude. Also, one final thanks goes to Nick Jenkins of Bluka for all the dope theme music you hear on the show. Check them out at SoundCloud or on Instagram at Bluka, that's B-L-O-O-K-A-H. And as you finish off this week strong, I want to continue to encourage you to keep showing up, keep putting in the work, and keep creating. You got this.